I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Destiny. Fulfilling my own destiny. God, I love that song.
Me too. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. It's Monday and it's our usual time, and today is the 14th of May. And we're happy to be here, and we're happy to have you with us today. Hello, listeners. It's good to have you with us. And we invite you to join us in conversation during and after the show on our Facebook page. If you aren't already a member of our page, please go to facebook.com/Purpose Talk Radio and join in the fun. We have Beverly Lewis and we've got She-Wolf who are assisting us during the show with conversations and any questions that might come up. And we will be there with you after the show on the page, joining in the conversation. So welcome and hi, Jen. How are you?
Hi, Barbara. I'm fine. This is such a beautiful day and I'm very excited to be here, and I just love that song by True Trinity. It's just so amazing. So if you like the song as much as we do, you can go to the Facebook page of True Trinity, and you can talk with them and actually purchase the song from them. It's the only song they have out right now. They're preparing a CD, but this is the only one they have ready to buy right now. And you can go and perhaps get to listen and also to buy it. So we're very excited today to have Alito Alessi with us from Dance Ability. And I'm going to give our affirmation right up here at the very front because I love it. One of the things that Alito says is, if you're alive, you can dance. And today our affirmation is, today I will break my boundaries and set myself free. I'm going to dance my day away. So, Barbara, back to you.
Yeah, I'm sitting here and I have this wide, huge grin on my face once again because I'm ready to play. Spirit's ready to play. We're all ready to play, and I'm just so happy to be here and to be talking to you, Jen, and then later to Alito also, and to the listeners, because I really love what I'm doing. And as I've been stating on my Facebook today, clarity is starting to emerge once again after a phase of clouded confusion, may I say, and yeah, the sparkles are coming back, the igniting sparks are going off left, right, and center for me, so let's go, let's have some fun. How are you? I think you were on a mini vacation, Jen.
I was on a mini vacation over at Seaside, Oregon. We had gorgeous weather. It was just wonderful people to be with. It was a great time, had a lot of fun. And I was very excited, too. It was a relaxing time because I had just finished my website, thesoulbodyblueprint.com, and am ready to start putting up the Facebook page and taking all the next steps that go with it. So I'm pretty excited about that. And when I got back from vacation Saturday and yesterday, my mind was still on vacation. So today's my first day actually back, brain and body all in one piece.
Wow, how do you do that, the brain is on vacation?
Well, I didn't want to function very well, so.
Okay.
But I met my friend Marva's, and one of her sons took her out deep sea fishing yesterday for Mother's Day, and they caught all kinds of lingcod and sea bass and Dungeness crab. So we had a fantastic dinner last night. It was just amazing. All this fresh fish and fresh crab. Oh, my. I was in
heaven. Wow, and it wasn't even purchased at a shop. It was just purchased out of the sea. That's beautiful.
Out of the ocean. Yeah.
Very good. So, yeah, today we're going to be talking about dancing a lot, I suspect. And I love what you said, Jen, about dancing your day away. It's now evening here in Germany. I don't think I'll be doing much physical dancing, but I'll be sitting here, and I have, when the song came on, as I always do. I'm grooving with the song, and whatever else is coming up, I'll be grooving. I'm sure I will.
Yeah. So did you draw a card for today, Barbara?
Indeed, I did. And today, mine is a little longer than it usually is. At the moment, I'm very drawn to spirit animals, and I've been experiencing quite a lot of coincidental things over the past few weeks with spirit animals. And the card that jumped out of me, out of my animal deck today, was the rat, actually. And the rat stands for charisma, intelligence, the skill of adapting, and for innovation. And what it says, funny enough, is that the rat also indicates a time of new beginnings. It's asking us to take the initiative and to also take a risk or two. It's a good time to put our ideas and plans into action. It says that unexpected winnings or treasures are on their way to us, and that our intuition is leading us safely. And the rat stands as a messenger for luck, which is really good, I feel. It's better than Lotto, because I think the chances are better if I don't play Lotto, actually. So, and what it says as an explanation for the card is that, I'll just read this the way I jotted it down earlier. You had to endure a lot in the past. Your fate led you to some dangerous places. You are strong and matured now. You know what you can achieve and the powers inside of you. You know how much you can endure and that you can count on yourself. The time of survival training is over. You found your path with the help of your intuition. Congratulate yourself on all you have achieved so far. You have discovered the power and the treasure inside yourself. The treasure wants to be carried into the world now. Stand up for your purpose. You are trusted. Projects will be successful. You are protected and guided on your path. Be at the right place at the right time and do the right thing.
Wow, that's awesome for you and for other people who are listening.
Definitely for me. Yes.
Yeah.
I was very happy with the card. And I hope that others can relate, that the listeners can relate to this also. It's so funny because thinking back to our first show, we called it New Beginnings. And now it's the middle of May, and it was, I think, exactly 6 months ago that we started this show. And today is more new beginnings. And I mean, every day is a new beginning, and we keep saying that. It's worth repeating. Because our mind is still in the process of getting used to all this positive stuff, and the mind needs the training. So every day can be a new beginning, and because it is our choice to make it a new beginning. And I'm personally very happy with this card. So what's the card that you drew today?
The card I drew is called the Circle of Life. And when you look at it, it's actually kind of a dark card, which surprised me. But I think the more I look at it, the more I realize how very true it is. This shows an older woman sitting in a chair. Her gown is kind of dingy, kind of reddish-brown color, and she has a red scarf around her head. She's obviously either sleeping or dying. Her hair is unkempt. She's ready to let go. But she's sitting in a chair that is the bottom of a circle, and in a room where the arch over the top along with the chair creates an entire circle. And it really is that, I think there was something on the Soul Healing Circle recently about death as a beginning and birth is also we have all kinds of new beginnings, but this is that whole circle of it's time to let go. It's time to let go of all of the things that we have held on to as foundation, as real, as the structure and the boundaries that we've created for ourselves to keep us safe, to keep us where we think we can be and not stretch the envelope, not step outside of the box, not stretch our minds and stretch our bodies to do things that we've never done before. That's what this is about, is going into that or taking that circle of life and recognizing that all of the things that we thought kept us safe are really nothing but a jail cell. Things that we thought kept us in place, and again, that kept us safe, are nothing but boundaries. They keep us locked inside, and it is a time of new beginnings. It is a time to break free of all those boundaries that we have set for ourselves and to experience that freedom, the freedom of movement, the freedom of movement of thought, the freedom of movement into a fully spiritual life, of letting go of the need to be safe and taking that leap of faith right off the edge of the bridge and then learning that you can fly and flying. So that's my card.
Wow. And the word that I would like to add is to let go of limitations, because boundaries is the one thing and limitations is the other thing. And most of it, or well, maybe even all of it, we do create ourselves, all the boxes. And I would like to stress out that most of it is in our mind and in our thoughts, not in our hearts. So I love that. That just goes so well. And yes, the affirmation also, I think we're going to say it a few more times on this show, maybe a little more often than usual, because I'd like to just repeat it now. Today, I will break my boundaries and set myself free. Absolutely.
So, Alito, what did you think about that?
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. I like this idea about there's no accidents, that when any of us need information, somehow it comes. You know, I'm sitting here going, wow, this is totally relevant to me. These people I've never met before and listening to for the first time. And I think it would be true for everybody listening. We're all meant to hear what you're saying. And it's all beneficial. It's all good for all of us. You know, the movement of the mind, the spirit, the heart, and then communicating about it and sharing it as much as possible. The thing that I'm most interested in, as you know, is that I appreciate analysis and intellect a lot, but I think the body expresses many things that we don't really know how to talk about with verbal language. So the nonverbal things in the movement that arise, I'm also really interested in. I love what you're saying.
I can so relate to the body.
I'm sorry, Barbara, I interrupted you. Say it again.
I can so relate to the body being my vessel for language, because lately I'm kind of like my mind is trying to understand things and to find words, the right words, the explanation words, and there's nothing. It's just, okay. Yes. So, and I totally agree. With me, it's my eyes at the moment that are telling everything, really. It's the stories are coming out of my eyes, obviously. And I so agree on through movement, through dancing and through body language in general, that there's so much possible that we can express, which is not possible through words.
Yes.
Right. Barbara, do you have anything else that you want to particularly talk about before we introduce Alito?
No. grooving along.
Well, I want to say just one thing is we're talking about movement and about the body and the language of the body versus words, and that so fits in with the whole soul body blueprint about how soul has given us messages, an instruction manual in our body, and we just need to learn how to read it, of how we process information and how we talk to the world and how we keep ourselves from taking steps and from reaching out to give to others and to accept. So I just want to throw that in there as well, a little plug, you know. So let's talk to Alito. Alito, how about you tell us a little bit about you and about danceability?
Okay, I'll try to be brief. I'm artistic director of a dance company called Joint Forces Dance Company since 1979. I became very successful internationally, touring and performing, and found myself very unhappy in fulfilling a dream that I thought I wanted. When I arrived there, it wasn't really what I wanted. It was still kind of a confused world of competition and aggression and arrogance and narcissism with people in their bodies and moving. And so I thought, you know, I love dancing. I'll never stop dancing. But this success, this field that I'm working in just doesn't seem to be motivated by the same thing. So in my pursuit of fulfilling my own personal values, which I feel create happiness or at least point you in a direction of happiness, I expanded the work that I was doing to include dance for all people. So it was stepping out of the smaller box of contemporary dance in a way and trying to open up to true democracy, meaning equality for all people through movement, so that I could learn to expand my own language, because I had found that the verbal language wasn't clarifying things for me. And even my own body movement wasn't giving me enough clarity, because it too had its limits. So I began a pursuit to find people who move differently than I did in order to learn how to move from them, and believing that that would open up many other pathways and many other windows into my own psyche. And it became absolutely true. So the danceability work is a work that doesn't really focus on disability. It focuses on all people being together and believing that each person has something to offer and something to take from the rest of the community in terms of educating themselves, for their relationships, and for their community. And the main focus of danceability work is to eliminate the concept of isolation. So it's somebody's condition, unique mental characteristic, or physical difference is totally irrelevant to the focus of the work. The focus is really to bring us together and believe that problems only arise when we're alone. And that's if you're not choosing to be alone, of course, because many times you can choose to be alone and it's a great place to be. But if you're isolated, then it's difficult. So my work, I work with all people in any combination of people, any population. And that's what I do. That's danceability.
That's amazing. And what was the response of people when you first started this?
Well, when I first started it, of course, you know, when you start any new project, you need to build a sense of support. And I went to many places and they sort of laughed at me. And they said, oh, come back when you've proven yourself, actually, is what happened. And now, 25 years later, we have integrated communities of performing artists in probably 18 different countries. If you look at the website, you can see videos and pictures of people from all over the world doing this work. And it's becoming a great thing in many, many, many places. So it's changed from then to now. Now there's endless support and foundations and organizations stepping up, wanting to be able to facilitate the danceability methodology to be spread worldwide, actually.
So you teach classes in all countries.
Pardon me?
Barbara and I are too excited. We jump in at the same time. Go, Barbara.
I said, that's so cool that you started it and then you were proving things to people. So you were pioneering and pathfinding. And I'm, again, sitting here grinning and nodding. And my cheeks are going all red because I feel a connection, because I'm the same.
Yeah.
And people look at me with sometimes a very strange look in their eyes, like, what's she talking about?
Yes.
And it's that, okay, yeah. So I want to be really clear in what I say so that people can at least understand the mind frame behind it, or they can get the connection to the heart. And for me, the hardest part is to explain it completely in a theoretical way. I mean, I'd say at the beginning, it might have been similar for you, but then on the other hand, you can stand up and dance and show through the movement what you mean, to connect people with it. And so, and I really love the inclusion rather than separation, because that's what community is all about nowadays. So you're Mr. Trailblazer today, aren't you?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is, in a way, I'm sort of an organizer, because all of the bodies of the people that I have danced with have educated me and shown me the way. So it's sort of like you blend your intuition with a little bit of openness and follow the leader, and things create themselves. I mean, I have organized a lot, but really the bodies of the people bring the wisdom to me, and the wisdom that arises in a totally inclusive community that presents possibilities that are way beyond what I could have originally imagined with this work. So that's the great thing, is that, yeah, I have some pride, but I don't own it. It's owned by all the bodies that have come to classes, that have come to workshops and educated me and taught me how to deal with the people that will come to me in the future. The interesting thing that you said to me, that for a little educational moment, is you don't have to stand up to dance. As you said, yeah, I could stand up and dance, but, you know, movement, the language of the body, right? It was a predecessor to language. And so every movement speaks, you know, whether we understand what it's saying or not, it's relevant to the evolution of all of us. And so you can dance even if you can't stand up, was my point.
That's awesome.
Certainly.
So you teach classes all over the world.
Yes. And workshops, okay. And trainings. And I train people also to do this work, because for it to really spread, of course, you need to have many, many teachers. And now there's, because it's a particular methodology and an open-ended sort of system, meaning that I have a methodology that's like a security blanket, so that you go into a room of people who you don't know who they're going to be before you arrive. And you can feel safe that by opening your heart, by perceiving what's possible with all those people, you will have the tools to know what to do. Of course, once you start baking that cake or cooking that soup, you can add a lot more of your own personal interest and wisdom to the methodology. So it continually evolves itself. And now there are probably 500 or 600 teachers of this methodology around the world. And that is teachers both with and without disabilities.
So I have a question on, how did you meet Emery? And would you tell us a little bit about that partnership?
Yeah, sure. Emery Blackwell has been dancing with me for close to 20 years, 21 years. He's a man with cerebral palsy who can't walk, can't really talk unless you, his friend, he can talk. Difficult to understand him, can't feed himself, can't dress himself, can't get in and out of bed alone. However, he can teach danceability. And I've been working with him for all these years. The way that I met him was, I was walking down the street and I saw this guy strapped in, literally strapped into this big three-wheel bicycle with his hands Velcroed to a steering wheel and his feet screwed into the pedals. And he was at a stop sign. I said, wow, this guy looks like a real pioneer himself. So I went up to him and introduced myself, said, you know, I'm teaching these workshops that are for all people. You look like you might be interested. And he said, no, not really. And he rode off, you know, and he went home and one of his roommates said, did you read about that guy? And he said, yeah, I think he's a little crazy. And then another one of his friends told him the same thing and convinced him to come to a workshop. That was in 1990. And since then, he's really joined the danceability work, and he's been instrumental in spreading this work worldwide.
Well, and it says on the site that he's a choreographer as well.
Also, yes. Yes, he makes pieces. He's a director. He's a teacher. He's just, day after tomorrow, he's actually going to Austria to be part of a project.
Really?
In Vienna, yes. And so, yes, he does many things. One of the things he's going to Austria is because we have a children's program And we have little ways of teaching other people to develop programming for mixed abilities kids and also performances. And so he's going there to help them create a program for that. I myself just got back from Bogota, Colombia, where I was working with the military, actually, helping the wounded soldiers that are victims of mines dance as a way of their healing. And also we're in the process of training the wounded mine victims to teach the other mine victims to dance. And just so that you know, when I use the word dance, I don't mean we're moving in a way with particular steps. Each body has its own language. Each body has its own movements. And we have methods to teach people to wake up their intuition, to be guided in the present moment and allow their body to speak whatever movement it makes. And those movements are, for us, what we call dance.
Wow. I know that I got to see a dance performance at the Hope Center in Eugene.
Yes.
And it was not Danceability. It was another group that was doing a dance thing. But I think you were out of the area at the time, and it was absolutely amazing. I was so struck by the power of that dance.
Yes, that was my choreography, actually. That was Danceability. And that was my choreography. That was two women dancing, the one woman who was a woman with one leg, and another woman, a graduate teaching fellow at the University of Oregon. That was Danceability, actually. That was a choreographed piece.
Right. It was a different group putting on a whole dance thing, and that was where I first saw any of Danceability's work at all.
Yeah.
So do you perform in, does Danceability put on any performances, or do you incorporate it with other groups that are doing dance performances, or how does it
work? We do probably every variable or variation that you think of, we are interested in. We go places and we set performance pieces or improvisation on other communities of people. We take our own community dances, our own works with us. We do what you call urban interventions or street parades. We've done them in Hanover, Germany at the train station. We've done that in front of the Duomo in Milano, Italy, and we've done them in airports and shopping malls. And anyway, we do many, many, many kinds of things. Children performances, performances for children, performances with children, all kinds of things. Demonstrations that happen at the end of the workshops that we do. Many things.
Oh. I'm going to ask you some more questions, but first of all, I'd like to invite our listeners to call in. You can go to purposetalkradio.com and find the telephone numbers there where you can call in. You can also Skype in to BBS Radio, and our wonderful facilitator, Doug, will patch you through so that we can talk with you. But call in with your questions and with your comments, and if anybody has seen a performance or if you want to know how to become part of a troupe or to learn more about this, then call in and talk with Alito. So, Alito, I want to ask you, and we'll get you to repeat this later, but what is the website? If somebody wants to learn more, what's the website?
Danceability.com.
Dance a bit. So spell it, please.
DanceAbility.com.
Okay, wonderful. So what else would you like to tell us about it?
Well, it's an interesting method for introducing people to the experience of their own movement and the value of any movement. You know, an impulse can change everything around you. And so the value of the smallest movement carries with it. We say often in the workshops that every movement is language, and any movement expresses every feeling that exists. So to learn to listen to yourself, to learn that any movement that you make is a communication and enhances and helps you develop your relationships. And so in the work, we go through the four different systems. We work with sensation, which is the feeling of you experiencing your own body moving. And that movement as language, communicating with another person through movement, develops relationships. And so you make small relationships, and then through those relationships, you find your place in a community. And then we also train how to notice, how does the community that you're working in affect the environment around you? So that it's dancing for social change. It's a dancing for a reason. It's dancing to have an impact on your own life, the lives of people around you, the lives of people in your community, and also to affect your environment. And also to remember that it's really, really, really fun. And we do all kinds of workshops, and you can see on the website, we also do teacher certification programs. One that I'll be doing this year at Impulse Dance Festival in Vienna, Austria, and you can find that information on our website. And it's a one-month training where you can come, where any person can come and be trained to become a teacher in this work. And that helps then facilitate the developing of communities of this work where people live. And basically, that's how the work itself has developed and grown.
So let me see if I understand. I think I do, but let me see. I have a physical limitation. So years ago, my foot was cut off, and they put it back on because I was young and healthy and all that. So nowadays, yeah. Obviously, I have a little bit of limitation on the ability to move that foot. So
I would say you have an alternative possibility rather than a limitation.
Okay. All right. That's an alternative possibility. I like that. So I can don't have to dance in a certain way, like the waltz, do it in certain steps. I can actually dance, change it to fit me.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I mean, no disrespect to you, but we're talking about minor adjustments. But if you're talking right. about some people who have no possibility to mobilize themselves from
right.
one place to another. And so in the way that we begin with a person like that, and of course it's going to change depending on many, many, many variables, depending on mental conditions and various forms of cognitive realities that change. But let's say we have a person that cannot mobilize themselves and is mentally able, has their own.
Okay.
And so then all that we do is we ask the person to move however they can move and to place their attention within the sensation of that movement. So there's no particular movement you need to make. You're just putting your awareness in the present moment in your experience of your movement. So that's the place that we would begin. And that movement, it's possible that that movement might be a very minuscule impulse. There are millions of people on the planet that don't have very much movement, maybe even beyond right. their body breathing. Mm-hmm. Those people can still dance. Those people can still develop relationships. Those people can still be an integral part of what they have to offer to a community. And so we begin there. So every impulse is an action. Every action is an expression of some language. And that expression can have a response from another person. Not important that you understand what you speak about when you use your body. It's just important that you allow your body to express itself in relationship to another person as well.
And
does that make sense to you?
Definitely. Totally sense. This is Barbara. I'm back.
Yes.
I was busy on Facebook and making the conversation happen there so that people can talk, because I think this is totally awesome. And the topic of what you've just said, that everybody has the ability to do something with every part of themselves, really, is so, so beautiful, because this is believing in people. This is the most positive thing, and it's making the impossible possible. We've been talking about this before, a few shows ago, that everything's really possible once we really want to make it possible, no matter what physical or mental condition we're really in.
Yes.
So I'm very grateful for you reinstating this, Alito, because it is so, so vital that we keep reminding ourselves that everything is
possible
indeed. Can you hear me? Okay.
Alito, can you hear me?
Okay,
sorry.
Now yes, I can. I'm back.
Here we go.
I'm sorry. I just had my cursor on somewhere where it wasn't supposed to be. It's just reminding ourselves every day that everything is possible, and it's only us that are stopping ourselves.
That's
nobody
right.
else.
Right.
It's training the mind. It's the conscious awareness, really.
I'd like to add one thing to that, because it's not only possible. Each person on the planet comes with some purpose, some responsibility. And I believe it's not only possibilities that we're seeking, but how to fulfill our responsibility. And I believe in that.
That is very powerful. And the ability that somebody has, the limited ability that somebody has to be able to move, or maybe I should say other ability, has to move, to me is so powerful that when I see it, even thinking about it, brings tears to my eyes because of the power that's there.
Every impulse is a heartbeat, no more valuable or less valuable than any other impulse or movement, we could say. All movement is essential for our evolution, is essential that we understand each other, that we listen to each other, and that we communicate with each other. Everybody on the planet has something to offer. And so we work a lot in our work with listening, learning to listen.
Yeah. Is there a way then, or have you thought about teaching people like me to be able to listen better or to communicate better with someone who can't talk?
Yes. Oh, yes. We have endless amounts of information for that. Endless. There's a whole book. My book is for the people who do my trainings, but there are endless recipes, I call them, for dealing with every kind of person that you could meet. Yes, and it's actually quite simple. It's not as complicated as you imagine.
I love that, the simplicity. And while you guys were talking, what came back to me was my experience when I learned to dance Argentinian tango. And my very powerful teacher, who, when we started the training sessions, asked us to walk for 20 minutes to arrive where we are, to be present in the moment and to just walk for 20 minutes. And before we even started anything with music, we were just walking. And I so appreciated that, jumping into the car from my day job, going places and then arriving at the dance studio to be able to breathe through. And that was an expectation of her, because she wanted us fully present in the moment. And it had nothing to do with doing certain moves that were choreographed or something. It was just about being there. And then especially Argentinian tango lives from attitude sometimes, and somebody looking at somebody else, when the whole philosophy behind it, the way that a man asks a woman to dance, he doesn't go over in Argentina, he just looks at her and she gets the message or she looks away. She either gets up and decides she wants to dance or not. And it's so fine sometimes. So yes, she really wanted us to be totally present and totally attentive and aware. I love this concept of listening with all our senses, with every fiber of ourselves to the person that is sitting across the table or standing across the table or on the telephone.
Barbara, go to my website and look at the Tangle piece. It's a duet. It's a duet with me and Emery Blackwell. I'm on roller skates in that performance.
Oh, cool.
And it's, and he's in a wheelchair. Well, he's in and out of his wheelchair, actually. And in that performance piece, I mean, we made that piece as two men because, as you know, the tango was invented by men.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So it was invented by the immigrants who arrived in South America when they wanted to learn how to meet women. So they invented, that's where the Argentine tango came from. And so we were in Argentina working, and we decided we would make our own tango. So you could check that out on the website.
All right.
I would definitely do that because, I mean, yeah, the whole concept behind it and the way my teacher was teaching us, she's a woman. I'm not a tall woman. I can only say it in centimeters. I don't even know in feet and inches. I'm 158 centimeters. So I'm kind of like tiny, and she's even tinier than me. And the power in this woman, when she starts being present and dancing, it's like switching a switch, and she's completely there. And then the acting in it as well, as you were saying, Alito, they invented it for meeting women and all that. And then what evolved out of it, the whole thing. And now my teacher, she's using Argentinian tango in a therapeutic way also to connect people with their inner self and with their soul, and to teach them how to communicate with every fiber of themselves.
Yes.
And I was just so in love with the whole concept. And then I moved away. So, and then I met my husband, and my husband doesn't like dancing. So I feel, oh, I miss this. I really want to go back and do some more because I so enjoy it. So you've reinstated this passion in me. Thank you for that. Everybody's still there?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Jen there also?
Yeah, I keep hearing these silent spaces, and I keep wondering if I'm been off to the side, but that's okay.
Well, I'm
trying
to see.
To play games anyway.
Should I wait for questions or?
No, we're having talk. What else would you like to tell us?
Oh, well, that everybody, you know, that everybody can move. You know, everybody can dance, and it's and it's not so complicated to come together with various kinds of populations of people. That when you, I've found, you know, I've danced with some of the greatest performing artists in the world, and for me, it's still being in a real reflection of society is where I learn the most. And when you go into a room and say there are 50 people in that room and you have several people with unique mental characteristics and various forms of physical abilities and professional dancers and the full range of people, it's where you learn the most. It's where you have the greatest opportunity to learn. And so that's what the mixed abilities work is a focus on, is how can you create a situation where you can be in an honest reflection of our society and then trust what you learn when you open yourself to the possibilities in those places.
We now have a question from a listener. Bev is asking, her brother is a paraplegic. And she's wondering if there are any of these programs available in the Sacramento, California area.
Well, there is in San Francisco. For example, there's a company called Axis. And I'll be doing a project with the Axis Dance Company in June. I think it's June 9th to the 13th in San Francisco. So that's not so far from Sacramento. But what I'll do is I could look into my file maker and see if there's anyone closer, and then maybe let Jan know through the email, and maybe we could get some information to her. But I would say that she should go on the internet and look up axisdance.com and then contact them because they're closer to her and they would probably know for sure.
When we're through with the program here, Alito, would you mind going to our Facebook page, Purpose Talk Radio, and you'll have to like the page, obviously, and then join in the conversation and maybe post that there, that link?
Sure.
That would help people to be able to find it a little bit easier.
Okay. Great. We'll do that.
And for people to get in touch with you personally, because I think that's another great way of connecting more circles and connecting right. more community as well, the personal contact. And I'm all for this anyway. And last week we nearly we had a very lively conversation after the show, which led to a few challenges, may I say. But the conversation was just flowing for, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours after the show. So if you have some time, Alito, we really invite you to come over and join us in conversation. I'll be definitely there. And yeah, I think, Jen, you'll be there also, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Great.
So, Alito, I have one more question for you, that I'd like to address is if you would tell us a little bit more about Marissa.
Okay.
I see you on your website, and I think it's an amazing story. So,
well, Marissa was a great friend of mine. So I met her in 2000, I think it was 2004, 2005, when I received the Guggenheim Fellowship. And she read about me in the newspaper and called me up. And she was actually living in Eugene, where I live, Eugene, Oregon. And she asked me to come over and talk to her. And so I went to this senior citizen's home where she was living. She was like 92 or something at the time. And she told me how she started to work with children with disabilities in the 1940s in Montevideo, Uruguay, which is where she was from. And she wanted to teach children with disabilities to dance. Only the government at the time was a dictator and refused to allow her to teach them dance. So she started a school for children with disabilities, nonetheless, and couldn't teach them dancing. Well, about 60 or 70 years passed, and that school still existed, but Marissa didn't know it. And somebody was going through a box of old things at the school, and they found a plaque with her name on it. And they decided to track her down. So they found her relatives in Montevideo who told her she was living in Eugene, Oregon. And then the present day directors of that school came to Oregon to visit Marissa to tell her that her school that she started in the 40s was still existing. And so shortly after that, she called me on the phone and she said, "Alito, we can finally make my dream come true. Let's send you to that school." And so she helped fund a project to Montevideo, and I went down there and I worked at the school and trained the teachers and got the cultural programs in the city involved and the Ministry of Education involved. And before you knew it, there was programming established at the school for these children to begin learning dance classes. So the dance classes began. I came back to Eugene and Marissa said, "Alito, I have another idea. Let's spread peace and joy throughout Latin America through the danceability work." And I thought, wow, she's a little, what are you talking about, Marissa? I didn't know that she had, you know, that she was a person who had any money or anything. And she said, "No, I want you to make me a budget." And to make a long story a little bit shorter, I made a budget for spreading the work to several countries throughout Latin America and then to build a center for danceability within Latin America at her school. And that is what we're in process of doing now. We've established ongoing strong communities in Chile, in Brazil, in Mexico City, in Uruguay, in Argentina, and Colombia. So those are the 6 countries. And now we're in the process of building a center at the school. And the children at the school, there are 100 disabled children there, or children with disabilities, and they take dance classes every day. And we're building a program that will continue. She left our foundation, Joint Forces Dance Company, enough money to run that programming for 10 years. We're now into our fourth year of developing that project throughout all of Latin America.
Oh, wow. That was amazing.
Yes, she was wonderful. An angel.
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, that comes back to what Jan started the show with, quoting you from the website, "If you are alive, you can dance."
That's right.
I mean, the span of time and the idea and then the dream and then the coincidences, led, one thing led to the next. And now all this has happened on her behalf.
Yes.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's so,
yes.
So beautiful. We've got 5 minutes left on the show, Alito.
It's a sign of things to come because we will continue. I'm also an Ashoka Fellow, which is another great foundation that people should look into, that helps spread this work with me as well. I'm hearing an echo, so I'm not going to talk at the moment.
Well,
okay.
We do need you to talk just a little bit, Alito.
Okay.
We need you to tell us how people can get in touch with you. They can go to danceability.com,
yes,
and
or,
find the website.
Or they can go to facebook.com. And facebook.com/danceabilityinternational.
Okay.
And all through right. Both of those places, on the website and on the Facebook, there's a calendar of events with all the programming that we have worldwide. In the next several months, we'll be in Vienna and in Italy and in Colombia again and Uruguay and Chile and it. Yes, so. People, Germany, we have very strong communities in Germany as well.
That's good. I'm in Germany, Alito, because I was
yes.
going to ask you, any chance of seeing you up north in Germany soon? Because Hanover is not so far from where I am.
Yeah, well, we have organizations in Berlin, in Hanover, in Trier, in Cologne, I think in Hamburg as well.
Yay. That's closest to me, so I'll be in touch through that somehow.
Super.
Cool. Thank you.
And I'll be able to watch you in Eugene when you're ever there.
Yes, you will.
With all your travel.
Thank you so much, both of you, for what you're doing. You know, it's like you're the farmers. The networkers are what I feel are the farmers. Many of us do great work, but we can't. We need ways to channel it and share it. And the people who lay down the groundwork for spreading through the network in this way is a great, great thing. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. Yes. So Barbara, you want to talk now?
I'd like to invite once again people to connect with Alito through Facebook, through the website, and with us also, obviously. If there's any questions, we can assist you with anything on getting in touch with Alito and Danceability. Let us know. We'll do our best to either connect you with Alito or help you out there. You can reach both of us on our personal websites also. Jan has two websites now. One is the soulbodyblueprint.com. That's soulbodyblueprint.com. And the other one is janrevel.com. That's REVELL.com. And you can reach me on – I have two websites also. And there's a third one that's evolving at the moment. So you can either reach me on Facebook or on barbarapatterson.com. DE or barbarapatterson.info. What else, Jen?
Well, I just wanted to again thank True Trinity for their wonderful musical piece and also to remind people that Barbara and I do joint coaching, soul coaching and life coaching, and we love talking with you and being able to help you achieve your goals. So if you want to find out more about that, you can find out on the purposetalkradio.com. And if you have ideas of people that you would like to have us invite to the show, then be sure to let us know. We keep our schedule pretty far ahead of time. And a reminder, too, that in the month of June is our anniversary month. Barbara and I first met in the month of June, And we're doing, all of our talks then are about the circle. And like,
yay,
today is the circle of life.
it's all the time now, it's about community and circle. And I really love that, because both of us have been manifesting, and so many others like Alito is manifesting the same thing. And thank you, Alito, for all the groundwork that you have done over the, I think you said, past 25 years, which I can imagine was pretty challenging at times. Because times are now freeing up and people are more positive and they're more open to new ideas and everything else. But 25 years ago, I can't imagine that somebody with such a new concept, that people were looking at you with big question marks in their eyes. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're closing now. And I guess that's it for today. Thank you guys for listening in, for being with us. We'll be hopping over to the Facebook page shortly, and we'll talk to you there, and we see you there.
Hi, everyone. Soul greetings. We'll see you next week.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.